From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
War of Will chased home by Country House past the 16th. It's War of Will. War of Will from Country House, then Boyland. War of Will, Wells, well up them again. Won the Risen Star from Country House.
Up on the outside, running is outshine now, gaining ground, and toward the rail is Lord Dragon. Down to the wire, it's Tacitus going to the front. Tacitus strikes to the lead. Tacitus to win the Tampa Bay Derby.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios, welcome to the Equine Forum. Presented by Red Brand Fence.
Spinoff, who's taking a short lead from a battling By My Standards. Swingo, then Country House. It's Spinoff and By My Standards for Gabriel Saez. It's By My Standards and Spinoff. By My Standards at 22-1 to win the Louisiana Derby.
With an eighth of a mile to the finish, Mind Control down at the rail, Instagram on the outside, Much Better's in between those two. The three of them continue to battle it out, and here's Haikal making a late run on the extreme outside. They come for the finish. It is Haikal to win the Gotham.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, you know him as the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Pope Jude. You can get his selections at popejude.com. JT, 21 days, 10 hours, 48 minutes, and 27 seconds away from the Run for the Roses. A lot happening in the state of Kentucky here today. You have Thunder over Louisville taking place in the Derby City, which kind of kicks off that three-week Derby Week festival leading up to the Run for the Roses. And here in Lexington, you have the grand opening of the new Total Wine and More store, which is located out in Hamburg Pavilion, 2321 Sir Barton Way. That is where we are broadcasting from this morning. And you know what? You want to talk about putting the foxes in the hen house. They've done that here today,
well,
haven't they?
They have a big line to buy bourbon this morning, some special bourbons. And, you know, this is like Disneyland for adults. I love this place. I don't really care about Disneyland that much, but I love coming to Total Wine. It's just an outstanding place to get your liquor and party supplies. They've got everything here. They got cheese balls and ping pong balls. I mean, when the store has a lineup like that, how can you miss? We're right in front of the cigar humidor here.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's dangerous.
Selection of cigars. I mean, this place is just off the hook, and the help is fantastic. They're always looking to, you know, make your experience better, and if you need a suggestion for wine or whatever, they bend over backwards for you, so it's a really cool place.
They were really smart, too. They did put us next to the cigar area, which, by the way, the selection of cigars here at Total Wine is simply tremendous. So if you're a cigar smoker, come on out and enjoy their huge humidor here. But JT, they put us as far away from the wine aisle as you can get, and that's probably a good thing. I guess they knew their audience would be coming here today.
Well, yeah, I've got to find the rum later, but you know, that's my schedule. But they have everything. I mean, if you need something, they can get it for you, and they usually have it on the shelf. So it's a really cool place.
The doors are open. Typically, Total Wine and More opens at 9 a.m., but they open early here today. So if you want to come out and visit us over the next 2 hours, we are here in Hamburg Pavilion. We'll be here until 10 o'clock Eastern time. And, Jude, the doors open. There were probably well over 100 customers that have been lined up outside waiting for those doors to open. They've been there since at least 7 o'clock this morning. And the reason for that is because here at Total Wine on this particular day, they are offering a table full of more than 40 different bourbons. And, you know, everything from Weller's and our friends at Four Roses, which I'm sure are represented there, all different kinds of bourbon that folks were waiting to get in so they could come here and pick up one of those bottles. And it's quite a scene. They're streaming in now. They're actually waiting in line to make their way to the back of the store where that display is set up. And it's quite a scene here at Total Wine this morning.
Yeah, your wife's already found a Wildcats bottle of bourbon.
Oh, there you go. Is that the Maker's bottle?
Yeah.
Yep. And we can see over to our right, we can see the Tito's boxes stacked high for Tito's Handmade Vodka, one of the sponsors of the network. We told you Four Roses Bourbon is part of this program as well, and you're going to hear more from the folks at Four Roses later in the show here today. trust me, we're not going to talk only about alcohol this morning. We'll be visiting with the manager of the Total Wine Store, that is Derek Wright. He's going to join us at 8:15 to kick things off and set the scene for us this morning. But then we're going to be joined by Kurt Becker, our colleague here on the network and the announcer at Keeneland. He had the privilege of calling the Toyota Bluegrass last Saturday. That was a race you heard live with us on the network. We're going to talk to Kurt, get his thoughts on Vekoma's victory in that race, and maybe just kind of some cursory glances at what's coming up later today with that Lexington Stakes, which... Look, if you're a horse that's on the bubble, you're going to get 10 points from the Lexington today. That could be enough to get you into the Derby field 3 weeks from today. So we'll talk to Kurt about the Lexington and that Grade 1 Jenny Wiley taking place at Keeneland later today. Terry Meeks is the president and the chief executive CEO of the Jockeys Guild. I didn't want to... Boy, I butchered that when I tried to say that word, didn't I? Three words, chief executive officer.
Yeah, that's... CEO is good. Stick with that.
As many abbreviations as possible.
That's right.
T. Meeks. Terry Meeks. We'll just call him T. Meeks.
Yeah.
He's going to be here. Yeah. Non-Eastern.
He's making the trip. He must need something for the liquor cabinet.
Well, he'll be here to talk about the issues facing jockeys in regards to the whip that has been front and center in the sport of thoroughbred racing over the past few weeks. We're going to hear from Terry, 9 o'clock Eastern. And then coming up toward the end of the program, right around 9:40, we're going to be joined by jockey John Court, who is in Arkansas today. He's a two-time Arkansas Derby winner, going to look for number three aboard Long Range Toddy for Steve Asmussen later today. So we'll get a chance to talk to John coming up 9:40 Eastern. So a pretty busy program.
Yeah, John Court, he's such a good jockey. He won a race for me.
Did he?
Yeah, he did in Texas at Lone Star Park.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been around a while.
Yeah, oh yeah. John's, I think, in his 50s.
Yeah, I would say that's probably about right, but really top rider. And Long Range Toddy, a horse that has a big chance in there. He's got to knock off the Bob Baffert-trained Improbable again, and that's a tough ask, but he certainly has a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good race, the Arkansas Derby. We've got Omaha Beach in there, who was so impressive winning his division of the Rebel, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Great card today at both Keeneland and Oaklawn Park. So fans are really going to enjoy the afternoon's racing. We're supposed to have good weather here. It's supposed to rain at Oaklawn. That might have an effect on what happens today down there, but we'll have to see.
We threw out a poll question after the races were completed last Saturday, and we asked our listeners at HRN on Twitter to vote for which of the three performances in the Derby prep races last Saturday was most impressive. Tacitus winning the Wood Memorial, Vekoma in the Bluegrass, or Roadster in the Santa Anita Derby in California. If you had to choose between those three, JT, which one last weekend was the most impressive to you?
Well, the horse that impressed me the most, it was Tacitus, because I thought he moved forward. I was looking for him to have to move forward in order to win. He did that. And I think he's, you know, on a nice trajectory leading up to the Kentucky Derby. He's probably going to have to move forward again, but he's improving. He's learning his way with experience. And so I thought he was the most impressive. Roadster ran great. I mean, you know, let's face the facts. He's a talented horse, but he certainly lacks some seasoning.
Yeah, he lacks seasoning, but he proved he could overcome that
right
last weekend.
Yeah.
And it didn't have the best of trips either.
No.
You know, not a bad trip, but he was up close early. Mike eased him back off the pace, and then like a mature horse, he relaxed and made that big sweeping run a la Zenyatta style and came running and beat the champion too in that race.
Yeah, he had a better trip than the champion had. Game winner was way wide on both turns.
Yeah.
Thought it was a little bizarre, but then I thought, well, maybe Bob Baffert wanted him to run a mile and a quarter as a prep for the Derby. So, you know, we'll see what happens down the road. It's going to be an interesting Derby. There's lots of different ways to go. Fans are polarized around their favorite horses, and so we're probably going to have a kind of a high-priced favorite and you know, several horses with an opportunity to win.
All right, well, how about this poll question for today? We'll keep it kind of simple. I thought about going with something Arkansas Derby related because, let's face it, that's the big Derby prep today, 100 points to the winner. But I thought we'll do it this way. We'll just ask you, at this point, 21 days out, 3 weeks away from the Run for the Roses, who's your Derby horse? Who is your Derby horse right now? Maybe it's Tacitus. Maybe it's Roadster. Maybe it's still Game Winner, who has been game in defeat. both times he's gone to the post this year. Maybe it's Vekoma. Maybe it's somebody else. Maybe it's somebody that's running today. Omaha Beach, for example. Improbable. We want to hear from you. Who is your Derby horse right now? If the Derby were run today, who are you betting on right now, 21 days out from the Run for the Roses? Quick programming note, this afternoon, 5:30 Eastern, you can join Anthony Stabile. He'll be live from Aqueduct with coverage of the Lexington Stakes and the Jenny Wiley. He'll probably mix in a race from Aqueduct at some point during the program there. But that coverage, 5:30 Eastern, comes up on Sirius 111 XM 202. Make note of that. Those are different channels than you're tuned into right now. Sirius 111 XM 202, the channels for coverage of the Lexington and the Jenny Wiley from Keeneland later today. All right, we'll get to our first break. When we come back, we'll kick it off with Derek Wright, who is the manager here at the new Total Wine & More store on Sir Barton Way in Hamburg Pavilion. Doors are open. Come see us. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Alter Nation was the co-second leading second crop Kentucky sire with five black type stakes winners, nine black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alter Nation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alter Nation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the Fairgrounds. By Distorted Humor, millionaire, graded stakes winner, Alter Nation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Kentucky Derby winner Orb. On the track, his runners have scored on both dirt and turf, including multiple stakes winner Autumn Warrior, stakes performers Scrapper and Malocchio, and Sipican Harbor, winner of the Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes at Saratoga. In the sales ring, his two-year-olds have fetched prices up to $1.25 million and multiple yearlings up to $1 million. Classic winner, classic pedigree, Orb, standing at Claiborne Farm.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And here he comes, improbable three wide. The three of them line up at the top of the stretch. Galilean nearest the rail, improbable in the center. Extra Hope is between horses, and improbable slingshots to the front. Improbable now a length and a half in front. Long Range Toddy is running a very big one in the center of the track. Improbable, Long Range Toddy trying to gun him down. Improbable, here's Long Range Toddy. The 59th Rebel goes to John Corden, Long Range Toddy. He beat Improbable Galilee in third, Extra Hope fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Barron and Pontiff, that's Mike Penna and Jude Feld. We are broadcasting live on location from the new Total Wine & More store, which is located at 2321 Sir Barton Way in Hamburg Pavilion here in Lexington. So if you're going to be in the area over the course of the next couple of hours, the doors are open. Make sure you swing by and say hello. You walk into the doors of the new Total Wine store and you turn right and you're going to see our HRN banner. We are set up over by the cigars. And as I told Jude earlier, as far away from the wine aisle as possible, which is killing me right now. I can smell it. I know we're close. We're around here somewhere. Where's the rum? We'll find that here in a minute, JT. I know they have the four-square rum of Sir David Seal, no
yes,
doubt about it.
That's my favorite, and glad that we can get it here in Kentucky now.
By the way, that stretch call you just heard from Vic Stauffer, that was Long Range Toddy winning the Rebel Stakes at Oaklawn on March 16th. He defeated the Bob Baffert-trained Improbable. He's going to try to do so again later this afternoon in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, that rematch coming up later today. And we're going to hear from jockey John Court, who will ride Long Range Toddy coming up at the end of the program today, right around 9:40 Eastern time. In the meantime, we turn our attention back to Total Wine, and we do that with the store manager here, who is Derek Wright. He's nice enough to spend a little time with us and nice enough to get us this unbelievable setup. But, Derek, thank you so much. This is a great location.
No problem at all. We're definitely glad to have you guys along.
Yeah, and happy to be here and really excited to get a chance to set our eyes on what is truly a beautiful store here.
Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate that.
Yeah. Now, you told me, managing the store in Louisville and then came here to Lexington. You managed the other location over in Lexington Green and now moving out here. Take us through your background a little bit.
Absolutely. So I started with the company about 2.5 years ago. I was co-managing at the first Louisville location, and they hired me in to run the Lexington Green location. So now I've grand opened two stores in the past 2 years, and it's a lot of fun. This company's great to work for.
Is it exciting when you get a new store meet the new customers and introduce them to the products? It's been my experience coming to Total Wine that your staff is always so helpful. If you go into a party and you want a wine recommendation or you're looking for a particular kind of liquor, everybody here knows the inventory. I mean, it's fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. So we have a lot of repeat customers that are coming from the other store, but we have a whole brand new set of customers that are coming in from every day now. So it's absolutely fantastic. We have a lot of wine associates that get over 150 hours of training so they can make sure that they give them the best choices. And then obviously we have a lot of bourbon as well. So that's a little bit different for some of the other states to see that growth in the spirits market.
Yeah, look with you though here, Derek. As nice as this location is and as beautiful as this new store is, I was expecting maybe a nice bottle of Opus 1 to welcome us here this morning.
Well, we'll have to talk to William, our wine manager, about that.
Yeah, get William over here right now.
Absolutely.
No, this really is spectacular, and again, we're happy to be here. If you are out and about between now and 10 a.m. Eastern, make sure you swing by. We even have some HRN credit card holders that clip onto the back or stick onto the back of your cell phone case. So you can pick one of those up, and we told you the doors open here at 8 o'clock. The bourbon display, which is in the back of the store where everybody is kind of gathering right now as they begin to kind of come in here and then mill around, has, what, 40-something different bourbons? Is that right? More than 40?
Yes, more than 40 different bourbons and over 200 bottles. So what we basically did this morning was, since it's our grand opening weekend, we wanted to do something big for the community. So we did a huge bourbon release, and we let all the customers line up outside. We brought them donuts, and we made sure that on their way in, they had some food to go with their bourbon.
I noticed you gave away some beautiful bags to put the bourbon in, but everybody that's going up is holding the bourbon bottle, you know, like a football, and the bags are empty. They're afraid that the bourbon's going to fall through the bag, and those bags look really sturdy to me, so it just goes to show how much people love their bourbon around here. They're carrying it like a baby.
Absolutely, and in those bags, we actually have a gift for all the customers that come in today. It's a free class, so we have a classroom in the back of the store. We'll do different classes by our teachers in the store, as well as master distillers, master brewers, and winemakers. They all come in and teach classes.
That's cool. Can you find out the information on those on, on your website?
Yeah, absolutely. TotalWine.com. And yeah, you can go and choose the store, and that tells you what classes are available.
Yeah, my wife actually brought her bag. She has a bag that fits, what, I don't know, about 8 or 10 bottles of wine in it that she religiously brings to Total Wine. Ever since you opened the location over in Lexington Green, we've been huge fans. And she brought that bag with her today. She's out and about shopping now. This is going to be an expensive show for me. I can already tell you that.
I guarantee that. Yeah,
and then the humidor right behind us. I talked about it at the beginning of the show. Jude and I both love cigars. We smoke them quite often when we're on the road doing our broadcast. Well, after our broadcast, we'll kick back with a nice cigar, maybe a nice glass of rum or whatever. And the humidors here at Total Wine are, the selection is excellent.
Absolutely. And another thing we like to do is let our customers tell us what we're missing. So if there's ever anything that's not in there that you guys want, let us know, and then we'll reach out to the home office and try to get it in for you.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'm a big Rocky Patel fan.
There you go.
Yeah, there are some Rockies in there, too. They always carry some select Rockies, which is always nice to see.
I think they got my Camachos in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do.
They do. Derek, by the way, talking with Derek Wright, who is the manager at the new Total Wine and More store here in Hamburg Pavilion, Sir Barton Way. Come out and see us. You mentioned that this is a great company to work for, and you went through your background and talked about the different stores that you've worked with. What's the Total Wine philosophy, if you were to sum it up?
Yeah, so basically it's price, selection, and service. For us, we're going to be the cheapest in town. If we're not, we're obviously going to price match, but usually that's not necessary to price match when you come in here. Selection, we're going to have the best that you can find. We have over 8,000 different wines. We have 3,000 different spirits. So there's always something to choose when you come in here. And then service is what kind of sets us aside from everyone else. We want to make sure that all of our team is extremely trained and that they can get you guys exactly what you're looking for when you come in. And we do a lot of different tastings with our team members. So they not only do they point to a wine and tell you that it's great, but they've actually tried it.
You've had kind of a meteoric rise to stardom, I would say, 2.5 years, and you've already opened 2 stores. How did you develop your love for the alcohol business?
Well, actually, I'm from Bardstown, Kentucky, so I grew up in the bourbon industry. I worked at Heaven Hill Distillery when I was in college for an internship, so that's where my passion grew for the love of spirits. But then the love of wine just came from working for such a great company and the way that they invest in their people. They send our managers to California, to Europe, to go train and actually go to the wineries. So I haven't went on the California trip yet, but that's scheduled soon, hopefully.
I'll good. Put you on the spot. What's your go-to wine and your go-to bourbon?
My go-to wine is the Eiter, and it's a Cabernet Sauvignon. My go-to bourbon is Blanton's, when we can get it. But today we have plenty of it in the back, so I might have to sneak back.
I'll have to try that wine. I haven't tried that wine
yet. It's fantastic.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Napa Valley?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. It has to be Napa Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the Silver Oak that the announcer gets up there in Saratoga, and sometimes it's Alexander Valley, and I just can't.
There's also a bottle called 1858 that's from Paso Robles, made by Chuck Wagner of Camus, and it's absolutely fantastic.
No
as well.
Kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Camus, I love Camus. But, you know, I was going to an Argentine trainer's house for dinner, a friend of mine, Ignacio Correas IV, and I wanted to take some Argentine wine and stopped in your store across town, and the guy there just went through the whole deal with me, and I was so impressed, and I took 2 bottles of wine to the party, and they were gone in like 2 seconds.
Oh,
that
mm-hmm.
guy knows his stuff. So yeah, it's amazing how you can really come in here and learn a few things. It's not just, you know, I'm gonna go down to the liquor store and get a bottle of booze. It's you can come here and educate yourself.
Right, and we learn a lot from our customers as well. So I tell my team all the time, if you don't know the answer, ask the customer, because they usually know the answer as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, Derek, you brought up the point earlier about if you don't have something, just ask. Just
right.
We want to encourage customers to ask, because you will do everything in your power to get that particular product in here to Total Wine in the future. And I can vouch for that personally, because when we started, my wife and I started shopping over at the other Total Wine location in Lexington Green. I enjoy a Florida Caña rum, mm-hmm. right? And I really like their 12-year. And at that point, I think that Total Wine was carrying the 7-year and not the 12. So I asked about it, and they said, well, let us look into it. The next time I went in, it was stocked with 12-year. So I've been getting it there ever since.
Absolutely. And we have a request button basically on our computer. So instead of just saying, no, we don't have that or we don't carry it, we actually send it up, because sometimes our office is able to push a little bit on the vendors and then make them start carrying it, because you do have to buy it from a vendor. So, but, yeah, they do a lot of good work with our requests.
You know, just to the right of you and to the right of our broadcast position here today are the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby glasses, and that's such an integral part of what Kentucky is all about. You know, I mean, the Derby is kind of ingrained in everyone who grew up here. You mentioned you're a native Kentuckian.
Absolutely.
As we get closer now, we're 21 days away from the Run for the Roses. What types of things can folks expect when they come here to Total Wine, like Derby-related things, mint julep preparation, stuff like that?
Absolutely. We'll have the pre-mixed mint julep. We'll have the fixings to make a mint julep. We'll have the cups, the bourbon balls, the whole nine yards. So they can come in here and get everything they need for the derby party or the tailgate.
Are you a horse racing guy?
I am a horse racing guy. I love horse racing. I'm probably not the best at betting because I usually walk out with a little bit less money than I walked in with. But I absolutely enjoy it.
Walk out with some money, you're doing great.
Have you made it out to Keeneland yet?
No, not yet, but I plan on going out there today at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good for you. All right, he is Derek Wright. He is the store manager here. Again, the new Total Wine and More is open. They had the grand opening on Thursday
week.
Mm-hmm. Our good friend Sophie Doyle, who will be competing in the Kentucky Oaks. She will be riding, what's the name of the horse? Street? Oh, come on, give it to me. She won down at the fairgrounds, right? The horse that won the, I know I'm going to get this, Street Band.
Street Band.
Yeah, Street Band. She'll be riding Street Band in the Kentucky Oaks for Larry Jones. Yeah, and she was here to help you kick things off on Thursday.
Yeah, she was absolutely fantastic. She was mixing it up with the fans and coming in and talk to her personally, and then a lot of customers who didn't know who she was learned a lot about her, and then now she's got fans for life.
It's great.
Yeah, spectacular.
Good girl.
All right. So what do you want people to know about the new Total Wine store before we let you go? Parting shot.
Absolutely. We would just love you to come in and check it out. Our new store is a little bit different than the old one. We're doing a lot of different experiential retailing. If you go over to the Italy section, you can buy now the pasta. You can buy the cheeses with your wine. So it's a little bit different than the other store, a little different layout. But just come in and check out our team. I think that they do a fantastic job, and I definitely couldn't do it without my team here. They're all fantastic.
Yeah, well said. What are the store hours, Derek?
This morning we opened at 8 a.m., but we'll be closing at midnight. Typically on Monday through Thursday, we open at 9 a.m. and close at 10 p.m. And then on the weekends, we close at midnight, 1 to 9 on Sundays.
Yeah, it's a great place, and we encourage you to come on out. We encourage you to stop out if you're going to be in the area over the course of the next hour and a half or so, right up until 10 Eastern. We will be here. Come by and say hello. We'll hang out for a little bit afterwards as well. No doubt I'll be strolling around these aisles and making my way into that humidor. I keep looking back to that humidor. I got to get in there. I can smell them from here. Just spectacular. Derek, thank you so much for having us out here. Thank you for all your support of what we're doing here on the network. And good luck at Keeneland later today if you make it out.
Thank you so much, and we're so glad to have you guys in here. Thank you.
Derek Wright, store manager here at Total Wine and More. It is time for your weekly Lexus Legends of the Turf segment. This segment brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty here in Lexington, Kentucky. You go see the Godfather. You go see Mike Hendricks. They are horse people. They are the dealership of the equine industry in central Kentucky. They have been for a very long time. Go see them and tell them that the Baron sent you in and told you to say hello. This is your Lexus Legends of the Turf. We're back to talk some Keeneland with announcer Kurt Becker right after this and your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
On November 3rd, 1923, the largest crowd ever to pass through the gates at Latonia was on hand for the running of the championship stakes. Sportsmen from Maine to California, from Minnesota to Florida were there and filled with enormous excitement, enthusiasm, and expectation. What they came to see was a most memorable horse race indeed. Harry F. Sinclair's Great Zeb, coming off a resounding win over Papyrus in a match race at Belmont Park a few weeks earlier, was to be challenged by Carl Weideman's In Memoriam and the superb My Own. The value of the race was a hefty $50,000, and there were four entries. The track was in excellent shape in spite of a day-long drizzle. Earl Sandy was to be aboard Zeb as usual. Mac Garner had a leg up on In Memoriam, and Earl Poole had the mount on My Own. The crowd, so huge that the infield had to handle the overflow, included James M. Cox, the former governor of Ohio, who was a presidential candidate at the time on the Democratic ticket. Cox was to present the winning owner a gold cup. There was a lot to be proven in this race. Zeb had beaten In Memoriam in the Kentucky Derby, but many observers felt In Memoriam was at less than top form in that outing. It was 3:38 in the afternoon on that November 3rd of 1923 when the four-horse field reached the starting gate at the head of the stretch. Starter William Hamilton had his hands full in spite of the small field, and it took 3 minutes to establish some form of order. But when they aligned to his satisfaction, he got them away to a perfect start. In Memoriam had been particularly raucous at the post, but once settled down, was away in front. Zeb was second, then Rialto and my own. Going by the stands for the first time, first it was In Memoriam and then Zeb exchanging leads. Zeb then assumed command with my own moving up to second, In Memoriam third, and then Rialto. Zeb was being settled into stride and well-rated into and on around the turn and continued to set the pace down the long backside. It did not appear, however, that Zeb was running with his customary long, smooth stride. At the far turn, Earl Sandy appeared to be having trouble rating Zeb, and it now looked to be which challenger would be the first to corral the leader, In Memoriam or my own. As they hit the top of the stretch in the run for the wire, Mac Garner asked In Memoriam for extra speed, and he got it as he pulled even with Zeb. Sandy dug in on Zeb and asked his big brown colt who was wearing blinkers for reserve speed and energy. My own, under Poole, was not far back, but was flattening out. In Memoriam got by Zeb at the eighth pole, even though Sandy was whipping and driving for all he was worth on the gallant Zeb, who was soundly beaten the last 16th. In Memoriam had gained sweet revenge for the Derby defeat and coasted home a winner, and after In Memoriam had won, owner Carl Weideman said he had known all along his horse could whip the other three, all of whom had been shipped in from the East. Quote, "There never was any doubt in my mind that In Memoriam could trim Zeb or my own. My colt Swin today bears that theory out. None of the Easterners had any excuse to offer, and I acknowledge their sportsmanship as none of them tried to alibi," unquote. A great moment, the Latonia Championship Stakes, November 3rd, 1923, when In Memoriam with Zeb and my own in Thoroughbred Racing.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Now standing at Buck Pond Farm, Bet on Red, Wildcat Red.
Wildcat Red runs away to an impressive score in the Hutchison.
After winning the Grade 3 Hutchison, Wildcat Red goes on to win the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth in near record time. Faster than Pulpit, faster than Thunder Gulch, and faster than 49er. Multiple graded stakes winner and Grade 1 performing millionaire, Wildcat Red. Also standing at Buck Pond, V.E. Day. After winning three in a row at Belmont and Saratoga, V.E. Day wins the Grade 1 Traverse in one of the most exciting finishes in history with a speed rating of 112.
But here comes V.E. Day with a final try. Who will win the Traverse? It will be Too Close to Call!
Major League Belmont and Saratoga talent, V.E. Day. For more information, contact Buck Pond Farm at www.buckpond.com.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Donnell. Caraconti.
Caraconti, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with five-time champion Miesque as his third dam. Caraconti recorded three Grade 1 victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Caraconti recorded a Grade 1 win at 2 before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at 3, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32 and 4/5. First crop yearlings by Caraconti sold for up to $220,000, and his first two-year-olds impressed at the OBS March sale, with a filly breezing in 9 4/5 seconds and selling for $365,000 to Breeze Easy LLC. Caraconti, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Racing fans, we are now just 3 weeks away from the Run for the Roses, so make plans now to watch and wager on the Kentucky Derby here at Santa Anita on Saturday, May 4th. Our main event this Saturday is the $75,000 Misdirection Stakes for older fillies and mares at 5 furlongs on turf. Join us on Sunday for the Grade 3 Tokyo City Cup at 1.5 miles, and you can enjoy our annual Japanese Cultural Festival that features Japanese cuisine and performances throughout the afternoon. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
The crowd is just on its feet here. He's a Cinderella boy. Tears in his eyes, I guess, as he lines up this last shot. He's got about 195 yards left, and looks like he's got about an 8 iron. This crowd has gone deadly silent. Cinderella story, out of nowhere, a former greenskeeper now about to become the Masters champion. It looks like a miracle. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
Hey. How about that? One of the great moments, and there have been so many in the career of Bill Murray. And boy, that was special. Caddyshack, I figured on Masters weekend, what better way to introduce our next guest to you here on the network, who is track announcer Kurt Becker. He is our colleague. You'll hear him as part of our coverage coming up Derby week and on the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby broadcast. But, Kurt, you had the privilege yesterday of meeting Mr. Bill Murray up in the announcer's booth at Keeneland, and I said, you know what, this is the proper way to introduce you this morning, my friend. So good morning.
Fellas, good morning. Good to be on the show with you.
How was it meeting Bill Murray?
You know, it was fantastic. Genuinely nice man and a genuinely funny guy. I mean, he's got a tremendous sense of humor, and I think the most interesting thing was the fact that he's a longtime fan of racing. He grew up in the Chicago area, and he actually spoke about being at Arlington Park back in 1973 to see Secretariat. And he said, the thing that I remember, he said, you know how people often will ooh and ah when they react to a great sports performance? And he said, I remember the crowd that day, they were just astonished. He said it was more like the crowd gasped, just like a sense of reverence for the horse. So he's got some very fond memories of racing, and he was just having a ball at the track yesterday.
Yeah, he was. I got a chance to check out many of the social media posts that were out there, and it seemed like he took pictures with just about everybody, from the folks in the press box to Gabby Gaudette, who was down by the winner's circle. I saw him with the Bugler as well. He spent time just visiting with everybody out there, and that's a really cool thing. And hey, what better way to pay tribute to his great career than that little clip coming out of the commercial break and celebrating Caddyshack and Masters weekend here too. A lot of neat things there associated with Bill Murray, and glad to hear he's a horse racing fan as well. Kurt, you're obviously a massive horse racing fan. You wouldn't be calling races if you weren't. You got a chance to call the Toyota Bluegrass yet again this year, last weekend, and Vekoma getting the victory in that race. He was the favorite under Javier Castellano, who seems like he can do no wrong, and Vekoma could do no wrong last week. Share your thoughts on that performance.
Yeah, he really ran a flawless race. Javier put him in a perfect stalking position. You know, you consider the fact it was a full gate. It was a big, bulky field of 14, and Javier got him out of there in good order and just sat right off the pace and made a nice move turning for home and opened up in the stretch. He's a curious horse to me, Vekoma is, because he's got such an unusual stride. He's not a horse you're ever going to look at and say, you know, sometimes people will say, oh, he's such a great mover and has such a fluid stride. Well, bless his heart, that's never going to be Vekoma. But you know, I talked to a trainer a few days ago at the track who said, you know, the way his action is with his left front doesn't bother me because he's just unorthodox. Somebody compared it, the way he shifts his weight kind of to his back end, they said actually in a way it's like he makes maximum use of all the power he can get out of his engine, out of that rump. And they said it's almost like a three-point shooter in basketball. You know, Purdue had a guard that had that oddball shot that kind of started from down near his hip, and he would kind of heave it at the basket. And somebody said, you know, that's kind of how this horse runs, but it works for him. And it's a great story for George Weaver. I mean, here you got a trainer that grew up in Louisville. He spoke fondly of his memories of coming to the Bluegrass here in Lexington as a kid with his dad. And I just think it's from George Weaver's perspective, I can't imagine that he's, you know, second time he's had a Derby horse, and he's got to be feeling really good.
Well, you know, George was on our show last Saturday, and he was so confident. I mean, we interview a lot of trainers, as you know, Kurt, and he was so confident. I mean, he pretty much talked me into his horse. and I thought that was so unique that you know, that horse had a lot of questions to answer, and George had the answer for all of them. So this is fantastic.
And you know, Jude, that brings up a good point when you mentioned the fact that the horse had a lot of questions to answer. At this point, you know, if you're a speed figure guy, I've looking at the Derby, I've got some concern that maybe he hasn't thrown up the kind of number you would love to see in that department. But really, nobody has really overwhelmed this year. And, you know, in a year where there's been very little consistency, as a guy goes back and looks now, the horse has been at least consistent with where he has finished. He's been competitive. And, yeah, the distance was a big question. A lot of people were curious, would he handle the stretch out to a mile and an eighth? And you're right. He answered that question big time. Man, not only won, but absolutely just opened up, and nobody was really close to him at the wire.
Mike Pennant, Jude Feld, live from the new Total Wine & More store in Hamburg Pavilion here in Lexington. Stop out and see us. We're here till 10 a.m. Eastern. We're visiting with Keeneland track announcer Kurt Becker here on the network. And Kurt did have the privilege of calling that Toyota Bluegrass again this year. He has been the only announcer that Keeneland has ever known, and that is quite an honor for him and something I know he doesn't take lightly. Kurt, the horse that was second in that Bluegrass Stakes, Win, 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 is a horse that Jude and I have had our eye on ever since our fantasy draft at Churchill Downs with the Press Box League, because we drafted him as our number one pick. He ran well, but he was no match for Vekoma. What'd you make of him and the effort from Signalman, who ends up third in that race?
Yeah, you know, first of all, regarding Win, 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 he made up a lot of ground down the stretch. And, you know, he was really the only horse in that race who was able to do that. It seemed like with that one exception, pretty much everybody else in the top four or five came out of the gate in the top four or five positions and stayed that way around the racetrack with just a few minor changes. If you look to the Derby with Win, 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 I think one of my concerns about him would be he's going to need to be a little bit closer to the pace. As we know, despite that long stretch at Churchill, those late closers often struggle to reach. But if he gets out of the gate well at Churchill, he could definitely be a factor. And you mentioned Signalman. One of the things that I think was encouraging about Signalman is the fact that, you know, that's a horse that early in his career, there were times he was the same way. He was a little slow out of the gate, and then he would dig himself into a hole and have to come running late at the end. And with Signalman, I was glad to see. I thought they did a nice job of teaching him in the Bluegrass to get out of the gate a little quicker and get in good position, stay closer to the pace. And the great thing about him is we know he can race inside of horses. He can take a lot of dirt in the face, and it doesn't seem to bother him.
Kurt Becker with us here on HRRN. Kurt, a couple of big races coming up later today at Keeneland. You have the Grade 1 Coolmore Jenny Wiley, which is scheduled for race 10, and the race preceding it is the Stone Street Lexington Stakes, Grade 3. That is a Derby points race, but only 10 points going to the winner, so it's going to be difficult for many of those horses to have an impact moving forward 3 weeks from today and find themselves in the starting gate, but there are some that might be able to kind of be fringe players after today's race. Just kind of give us a quick look at what's coming up later today with those two stakes races.
Yeah, with the Stone Street Lexington, you've got two horses in particular, Swainio and another Twist of Fate, that with a win and with the points that they have accumulated already on the Derby trail, could get into the gate for the Derby. I think Swainio is a horse that could kind of closely attend the pace, be right up close in the thick of it from the start. He's a horse that does not have to take his track with him. They've raced him all over the country. He always seems to finish in the top three. Only concern about him is he doesn't win many of those races, but maybe he can put it together today. Another Twist of Fate, that's a horse who also ought to be kind of up close stalking the pace. He's got Javier Castellano, and as you guys said, Javier can do no wrong right now. Don't forget, Dallas Stewart has a long shot in there, Chase the Ghost, and Dallas has already popped with a couple of big prices at the meet this year. McPeak has Harvey Wallbanger in the race, who won the Holy Bull, so it's shaping up to be a pretty competitive event. And the Jenny Wiley, I think Rushing Fool is the favorite. It's her race to lose. I know she's had a layoff, but she loves the Keeneland course. She's got Javier aboard, and I just think that she's going to be pretty tough to handle. If not, the biggest threat to her might be another of the Chad Brown trainees, Remska, who's coming off a win in Florida and looks to be pretty competitive in that race.
Yeah, and I want to go back and just correct myself here very quickly. I think I said 10 points to the winner of the Stone Street Lexington today. That's not the case. It is actually 20 points to the winner. It is 8 points for second, 4 for third, and 2 if you finish fourth in there. So that's how the point structure sets up in terms of what you can look forward to in that Lexington Stakes playing into the Kentucky Derby picture. But Kurt, it's going to be a great day. We're going to have that coverage this afternoon, 5:30 Eastern on the network. Folks can tune in on Sirius 111 XM 202, and they can hear both of those races. Your calls coming through on national radio. You know you've made it when, my friend.
I tell you, I have always appreciated this. You know, as a track announcer, you learn early on that when it comes to network radio or TV, there's never a guarantee. You know, a lot of times over the years, both entities have had their own track announcer, their own race announcer, who will come in and stand on the roof or on the balcony and call the race. So, you know, HRRN has been nothing but kind to me and to a lot of track announcers over the years. And it's always fun, guys. We always enjoy it, being part of the coverage. And one more thing, Jute Weiss Gretchen, of course, hails from the Chicago area. And I've got to share this real quick. Bill Murray, as I said, he grew up in Chicago. When he came in the booth yesterday, we got to talking about how we're both from Illinois. And he said, where are you from in Illinois? I said, well, I grew up downstate. And he threw open his arms and he gave me a big hug. He said, I will not hold that against you.
He's something else. Well, one word of advice for me, Kurt, check those shoulder numbers before post.
That's always a good idea, especially for that stretch run.
Kurt, we appreciate it, buddy, and we'll look forward to having you as part of our Derby Week team 3 weeks from today. Believe it or not, the Run for the Roses, you'll be part of that, and really excited to get you back on board and work with you again this year.
Very much looking forward to it, guys. It's good to talk to you both. It was great to have a nice chat briefly with your producer, Lee Delapina, before we came on the air. So, guys, appreciate it. It's great to be part of the HRRN family.
Kurt, appreciate it, bud. Go enjoy the day at Keeneland.
Sounds good. We'll see you out there.
All right. Kurt Becker and Derek Wright, the store manager here at the new Total Wine & More store where we are located this morning. Both of those guests who joined us in the first half of the program going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Quick reminder before we get to our next commercial break, then our Industry Star of the Week presented by Stuart Morris coming up in the next segment before we segue into hour number two, which kicks off with Terry Meeks, the president and CEO of the Jockeys Guild. That's going to be an interesting discussion coming up in just about 10 or 12 minutes from right now. But want to remind you that spring racing season at Woodbine is set to begin on April 20th with racing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The summer racing season kicks off May 24th with racing 4 days a week, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And turf racing on the world-class E.P. Taylor turf course is set to begin in mid-May with turf racing on the new inner turf course. That's right, they have a new course there at Woodbine that is scheduled to start in June. With the addition of the new inner turf course, Woodbine is striving to card, how about this, more than 500 turf races in 2019. The highlight of the summer season is the $1 million Queen's Plate, a race you'll hear live with us here on HRRN again this year. Canada's richest race will be held on Saturday, June 29th. And for more information and to buy your tickets to the Queen Plate Festival, all you have to do is visit woodbine.com. Love that trip.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Beautiful racetrack, great facility to train and race at, and always a lot of fun. The Queen's Plate, very exciting racing, and kicks off the Canadian Triple Crown.
All right, we're going to kick off our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris, when we come back. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Springtime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
Did you know there were over 1 million bubbles in a glass of champagne? Did someone say brunch?
Wine is made in virtually every country in the world, and I'm ready to give you a tour to find the right one.
Ham's sweet and salty richness pairs perfectly with a juicy Pinot Noir.
Now with two locations in Lexington. Visit our newest store in Hamburg, off Sir Barton Way. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous.
Cheers!
Spendthrift Farm introduces its newest breeding program for 2019, the Safe Bet Program. Breed to a fourth-year stallion and watch his first crop of two-year-olds have measurable success on the racetrack in 2019, or you won't owe the stud fee when your foal is born. To learn more about the Safe Bet Program, visit spendthriftfarm.com/safebet or call the farm today. That's spendthriftfarm.com/safebet. Spendthrift, the breeder's farm.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win, going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Broken Vow continues to deliver rock-solid results. The top 10 Son of Unbridled has sired nearly 150 black-type stakes horses, 75 black-type stakes winners, and over $71 million in earnings. Among those sired by Broken Vow last season were Chocolate Martini, winner of the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, and Life in Shambles, winner of the Grade 3 Fall Highweight. Sire of Eclipse Champion Champagne Room, Broken Vow has sired additional Grade 1 winners, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, Sassy Image, and Cotton Blossom. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Out for a spin, and Paco Lopez spring a 52-1 upset.
Out for a spin. The daughter of Darley stallion Hard Spun defeated champion Jaywalk and everyone else in the Grade 1 Ashland Stakes at Keeneland this past Saturday under jockey Paco Lopez for trainer Dallas Stewart. And that winning effort makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Hard Spun is Danzig's last Grade 1 winning son, who sired more first crop stakes winners than any other stallion. Ashland Stakes winner and Kentucky Oaks bound Out for a Spin is just one of an outstanding group of three-year-olds from Hard Spun's first post-Japan crop, which also includes Louisiana Derby-placed Spinoff, slated to make his next start in the Kentucky Derby. Learn more about Hard Spun and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
As they come toward the quarter pole, then at S2, why cowgirls like us? Brandaria still has five lengths to find, and Mandy Blue up the inside. They come for home with under a quarter of a mile to go. Three quarters in 1 minute 15.83 seconds. Need supervision. NS2 charges on the outside. Then Leora, Funfinder drop back on the outside is Brandaria, cowgirls like us, and Mandy Blue. They're coming inside the final 16th. And it's Need Supervision on the outside. RS2 with Joe Rocco Jr. Need Supervision has won the Silver Bullet Day Stakes. Three quarters length to RS2. Brandaria was third, beaten by a half dozen lengths. Leora was next across from Cowgirls Like Us, Mandy Blue, and Funfinder.
John G. Dooley with the call of the Silver Bullet Day Stakes at the Fairgrounds. Needs Supervision, getting the victory that afternoon for trainer Jeremiah O'Dwyer, who was our special guest this past week on Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton. You can go back and listen to the entire program now. Well, after we finish up 10 o'clock, listen to us until 10, then go back and listen to the podcast of Trainer Talk. Jude took the time to visit with Jeremiah for the full hour, and JT, I caught bits and pieces of it, and he sounds like a really fun guy.
Oh, he's great. Known as Jerry to his friends, he's a very interesting guy. He's had a unique path to thoroughbred racing. He's been doing quite well. He's just launched his career in 2017, and he's already won a bunch of races and over $1 million in purses. He is based in Maryland, and I can't say enough nice things about him. We had a really enjoyable visit, and I guarantee you will enjoy the Trainer Talk if you listen to it.
Yeah, and here's a short excerpt from that Trainer Talk, because Jeremiah is our Industry Star of the Week, this segment presented by Stuart Morris.
Well, you mentioned working for David Hanley and then being upset when he came to the United States, but it wasn't too long after that that you came to the United States, and your friends get you a job with Al Stahl Jr., and this happens.
Zenyatta now hooking to the grandstand side, and Zenyatta is now coming with a run, looking at Lucky Blame. Blame on the inside, Blame gets the lead. Zenyatta on the outside, looking at Lucky Blame.
So you go to work for Al Stahl, and he wins the biggest race in the country. What was that like?
That was fabulous. I think that was all me. I was his lucky charm when I went into the barn.
Job security, right? Yes, can't get rid of this guy.
No, I just got so lucky when I came over. And like I said, there was a couple of my friends, Brian Murphy and John Innes, who are both doing very well in their own right now. Both training and pre-training horses in Lexington. But they had Al Stahl who was looking for a rider, and they got me in there, and I didn't know who Al Stahl was at the time, or too many American trainers, to be honest. And I was in there, and I was just awestruck with the, you know, the amount of talent and horses he had. You know, that he had that barn in Rice Road there in Lexington, and a lot of those Claiborne horses were there, and they're just well-bred, beautiful to look at, beautiful to ride, and, you know, Blame happened to be there at the time. I'd like to say I got to ride him, but Al kept me off him. I thought as well, he's lead horse, and he's breezes and stuff, so, but they were good horses too, you know, the likes of the Park, he's a grade three winner. I used to ride him, you know, against Blame in his work, and it was just, it was thrilling to be, you know, riding those kind of horses and breezing fast coming down the lane. You know, you're realizing what good horses feel like in America.
Yeah. Well, you know, Al, I love Al Stahl. I think he's a great guy. He's a fantastic trainer. He does such a great job, and he's an upstanding human being. What was it like working for Al?
It's just a dream. You know what I mean? Everything is just a relaxed atmosphere. Everything goes smoothly, and he does things right, you know, at his own pace, and everything is, there's no stone unturned with him, you know. Everything is nice and clean. The horses are done 100%. He's a fabulous trainer. Does a great job. And like you said, he's a stand-up human being. And he's got a lovely wife and kids, and you know, which you'd expect. Because Mal is a great guy, and that's what he deserves.
You know, I've known Al for, I don't know, probably 30 years, but does he ever get mad? I've never seen him, like, really be angry.
I haven't seen him either, but I haven't tried to provoke him that much. You know?
Yeah, don't poke the bear, right?
Yeah. Well, why mess up a good thing, you know? Nice, pleasant. Leave him alone.
He's very even keel for a trainer, because usually trainers get up and down and stuff, but Al's pretty much the same every day, which I really admire, because a lot of times you run into those trainers that they wear their heart on their sleeve, and it's kind of hard to work with them sometimes.
It is a little bit. It is. But no, Al, he seems very level-headed, and you know, he understands the game completely. You know, you have to try stay level-headed, because the highs are high and the lows are low in this game, so you can't let it get you too much. Otherwise, your blood pressure will be through the roof.
That's Jerry O'Dwyer, who is our Industry Star of the Week. That segment presented by Stuart Morris. Again, you can go back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and listen to the full one-hour visit that Jude had with Jerry on Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton. It's there for you to listen to at your leisure, horseracingradio.net. And again, that segment presented by our friend Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique, full-service bloodstock operation. He wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his entire team. His success, he knows that it's because of you. With multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. Visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the major sales. And we're back with hour number two. We'll kick it off with Terry Meeks, the president and CEO of the Jockeys Guild. That's next, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside, it's Nick Stone, who fights on but will be second best as they come down to the line. He doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Second is Bodie Express. He's running a huge race. Down at the inside in Code of Honor. Hidden Scroll at a one-pace. Bourbon War on the outside. But Maximum Security proves he's the real deal with a gate-to-wire win in the Florida Derby.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And Code of Honor is on to the front. Hidden Scroll trying to hold on to second. Here's Bourbon War unleashing a big run down the center, but Code of Honor is going to hang on to win the Fountain of Youth three parts of a length.
Long Range Toddy is running a very big one in the center of the track. Improbable. Long Range Toddy trying to gun him down. Improbable. Here's Long Range Toddy.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, back with you live from the new Total Wine and More store, which is located at 2321 Sir Barton Way in Hamburg Pavilion here in Lexington. It is a spectacular store if you're looking for any of your alcohol-related items. This is the place to be. If you want a nice cigar, we are set up over by the humidor, which is a huge walk-in humidor here at all the Total Wine stores. And let me tell you, they have a great selection of cigars as well. Earlier in the program, we were joined by Derek Wright, who is the store manager here at the new Total Wine store. He was telling us about the new Italian section they have here at this Hamburg store, which offers different pastas and cheeses from Italy. So that's kind of a neat little thing, too, that you can take advantage of. And, of course, any bourbon or other libation that you may prefer, you can get it right here at Total Wine and More.
And you can also get a suitcase that's fitted for bottles to take along on your trips, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, stock up. I know my wife has been stocking up. She's made about six trips back to our broadcast location here. I think she has is that three or four bags down below me that I'm seeing here, which are all full of, this is going to be an expensive
show. It's
really
amazing because she never drinks unless she's alone or with somebody.
She came over with a representative from Total Wine that was helping her carry everything. You know, like a caddy selecting clubs.
They don't know she can lug that Pelican case, so she's just taking advantage.
We'll just bill it all to Terry Meeks. Why not? The president and CEO of the Jockeys Guild. He is with us here in person. And one of the issues that has been front and center in the sport of thoroughbred racing over the past few weeks, and it comes out of California, as much of the top storylines have, is the use of whips by riders in races, and going as far as to say, you know what, we're going to make it mandatory that jockeys are not allowed to use the whip when riding races unless it's for a safety or a corrective measure. And you knew at some point that the Jockeys Guild was going to weigh in on this. They have, and Terry is with us now to share that side of things. We talked about the other side, Terry, with the fact that Santa Anita and the CHRB came out and made that decision. That decision is now on hold, and I think in large part because of some of the concerns expressed by the Jockeys Guild and by the riders. So kind of bring us through the timeline that's gotten us to this point so far.
Well, you know, it goes back to, you know, the unfortunate deaths of 23 horses. And that started at the end of December, since the meet opened up. Nobody wants to see one horse die. And let's face it, you know, I think they got off of focus. They could try to get off the 23 horses dying and have something else, whether it be Lasix, which had nothing to do with the 23 horses, the use of the riding crop, it had nothing to do with the 23 horse deaths. So I think they California said, okay, we need to deflect everything off of the 23 horses. And I think we need to go back to see what caused the 23 horses from dying and work on that. And do we have issues that we can work on? You know, Lasix's been a hot topic for the last 10 years. The riding crop, we've been working since 8 Bells. We changed the popper, and it's much more equine-friendly, dating back 8 or 9 years now, and horses are not getting cut up. You know, but we've been saying all along, the riding crop needs to be used not only for safety purposes, but for encouragement. And, you know, there's a fine line. Okay, there's the people, the general public that's out there that doesn't understand our industry and probably won't ever understand, you know, why are we whipping the horses? You know, it goes back to we can't spank our kids anymore. You know, and it's not the right thing to do. Whipping's not the right thing to do. We changed the terminology from a whip to a riding crop. Some people don't accept that. But our industry's done a terrible job in saying, not promote and educating the people, you know, what we've done the last 8 or 9 years to benefit, to protect the horse.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and it's a point that I've made on this program several times. The fact that the Stronach Group and the CHRB came out and made this move or made this decision regarding the whips, regarding the race day medications, which in essence is Lasix, was more about public perception than it was about the actual reason that the horses were suffering those catastrophic injuries. I think we can all agree on that. But the fact that the industry has made tremendous strides, as you just pointed out, over the past 8 or 9 years in dealing with the issue of riders and the use of the whip and how they're using it and the actual, as you call it, riding crop itself being more friendly to the horses, you know, I think that's an issue that doesn't get talked about enough and doesn't get brought to light enough.
Right. You know, but we've had, and also the rules that we changed throughout the country, except for California. Now, what we want to see is, okay, we changed the popper. It doesn't hurt the horses. It doesn't cut up or cut
the popper's
welts.
At the end of the crop, right,
the crop.
Or the whip. Whatever. Yeah,
And it came from Europe, you know, or Great Britain, and we worked with the Jockey Club. We paid for it. We did a lot of, you know, worked with the industry, basically the Jockey Club then. And until this comes up, we don't have any issues, but because the horses aren't getting cut up, they're being seen by a regulatory veterinarian, or supposed to be seen by a regulatory veterinarian, and who then, if a horse was cut up or have welts, take a picture, notify the stewards. The stewards then would reach out to the jockey or a guild representative and say, okay, why? What's happening here? I've had two regulatory veterinarians in 10 years, one in Kentucky and one in New York, come to me and show me pictures. We went to the riders. You know, I was there for Kentucky. I heard about it afterwards in New York. We, you know, they changed the, you know, the popper was worn out, and it cut some welds. We made them get stop it and change to get, go ahead and buy new crops, and it's working. Now we got the Ramon Dominguez has been working on former rider, Hall of Fame jockey. He's been working on a new riding crop. It's called a GT360, which is he feels it's much more friendlier or safer for the horses and stuff like that. And still, it helps with the encouragement.
Even more friendly than the other ones with
absolutely.
The new poppers.
Okay. And we've been testing it in New York, Gulfstream this winter, Keeneland for the opening weekend. The first day, every jockey in Keeneland wore it or used it. And then yesterday or in California, we had some issues in California, and that's a different subject. But, you know, it's been positive. You know, and again, people, well, there's some, you know, overall it's been positive. You know, some, like anything else, change is, you know, tough to come by. But, you know, Javier Castellano, who's my son-in-law, has, since the opening day at Keeneland, he's liked it. He's won 13 races, 5 stake races, and loves it. He went to New York to ride the other day without the GT360 and felt uncomfortable using his own crop in New York. So he's going to go back to New York next week and making sure that he's going to have the GT360 with him.
Well, that's, you know, the thing about Javier. I mean, he's using this with tremendous success and winning races right and left. He's got a bunch of live mounts again today. You know, you would think that it would be a no-brainer for the jocks to embrace this. I realize old habits die hard and that kind of thing, but we always have to think about the perception to the public. And it, since all this has come to light, you know, I trained horses for 20 years. I've been going to the races for over 50 years. And, you know, I never really thought about the perception of horses, you know, getting hit in the stretch or whatever. It's not a good visual. It just isn't a good visual. And so, you know, when you have something like what Ramon invented that makes it look so much better and softer.
Kind of,
and,
yeah.
And then, you know, Javier, he's not a big whip guy anyway.
No.
He's very much of a finesse rider. And it goes to show you don't really need to have a whip to have a great horse race.
You know, the one thing, and going back to Javier, he's won 13 races, 5 stake races since Keeneland. And, you know, and he's shown, and the other riders have taken note that he's using it. But, you know, the one thing, it's important, go to the optics and perception. Totally agree with you. We can all do a better job in changing perception. I think we have done that. I think in California in the last 5 years, and, you know, I shouldn't say 5 years. It's been like 3 years ago they changed the rule or regulation on the use of the riding crop, whereas you can use the riding crop 3 times, then you got to do something different, change strides and stuff like that. It's taken jockeys 2 years to adopt it. You know, the first year, it was like over $100,000 in fines and suspensions to jocks. So, you know, when you get jocks that are used to doing something for 20 years or something like that, you basically, it takes a long time to get it to change. But it is working after 2 years in California. The one thing is, with going back to the CHRB rule, where they wanted to take it away other than just for safety issues, you know, horses lugging in or getting out, you know, then you could leave
a gray area there too.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, and jocks could say, I'm using it for this horse who's lugging in. The stewards feel different. They could basically fine you, they could suspend you, or they can take the total purse. If it's a Breeders' Cup race, take the purse race from the jock only. Not the betting public won't be disqualified, or the owner, the trainer, but the jock. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of issues with that. But still, let's go to our industry. Our industry, you know, we got to make sure the betting public is taken care of. We got to ensure the owners taken care of, the trainers, the breeders in black type. Johnny Velasquez and Mike Smith, both co-chairs of the guild now, have said for the last 6 weeks, basically the 80 to 85% of the horses won't pass other horses unless they have some form of encouragement. So then if that's the case, and I've talked to other people, and they said, well, maybe it's higher, maybe it's majority and stuff like that. Talking to Chris McCarron over the weekend during the telethon, you know, basically, we got to make sure the betting public is taken care of. in encouragement. If we don't, you know, they're going to, you know, if it's go back to Keeneland, how it was 15, 20 years ago when Pat Day was riding, speed, bias, and stuff like that, you get on the lead, they're not going to pass. So it's going to be the first two horses, if the fractions aren't way out there, to get, you know, these horses aren't going to pass the lead horses.
Yeah. It, by the way, visiting with Terry Meeks, who is the president and CEO of the Jockeys Guild here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Terry, here's one of the other layers to this, and something I've always thought was problematic. With so many wagers now going back to the fourth and even the fifth position, right, and having to pick the horses that are going to finish 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, riders are in a precarious position a lot of times because they can be fined if they overuse the whip and ride too aggressively, but they can also be fined if they're not riding aggressively enough with a horse that's beaten, isn't going to win the race, isn't going to finish in the top couple of positions, but if they're not riding that horse aggressively enough for the fifth position, if the race that features a multi-level wager like that, then they can be fined in that respect too. So it puts the riders in a very awkward position from that standpoint. What's the Guild doing there to address that issue?
Well, the one thing, we've been talking to the riders, and we've been talking to, you know, what we've done over the last 7 or 8 years is increase the lose amount fee or pay, you know, back to fifth or fourth, really, it's back to fourth, that they more money that comes their bottom line, you know, their pocketbook and stuff, because of the superfectas or the, you know,
right,
or the gimmicks. But we've talked to them. But at the same time, you know, in the past, I can remember when a jock got fined, horse was getting beat 15, 20 lengths, and he wasn't aggressive enough.
Correct.
There was no max. The stewards fined him.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I'm saying. That's a
right.
problem, too.
And that's
that
a problem, too. But at the same time, if a horse is not in contention for placing for fourth or fifth, it doesn't look good. The optics doesn't look good if you're wailing on a horse that's getting beat 15, 20 lengths. You know, the same thing if a horse is winning by 15 lengths. You know, the optics doesn't look good. So it's
yeah,
our
it should
job.
Hit the horse, right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's our job and the jocks, the older riders, to mentor these younger riders that's coming up and saying, hey, we all can do better for the good of our industry.
So is there an education layer,
oh, absolutely.
Layer to this, too?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we've been doing it. But again, it's, you know, we represent all the jockeys. Well, it's a majority of the jocks, major majority of the jocks. They're riding in the country, both Thoroughbred and Quarter Horses. Quarter Horses is a different breed. It's the 440s and the 300s and whatever it may be. But, you know, it's no question it's an education piece.
Yeah, it does take time. I mean, right. They put a new stop sign in at my condo, right? It's the first 2-3 days I blew right by it and I go, I gotta stop. I gotta remember that this is here. So I had to make a conscious effort. And it's the same with the riders. They get in the duel down the stretch and they want to win. Their horse wants to win and they reach back and hit him, you know, and you have to be conscious of that. And it takes a long time sometimes to break those habits. As you say, a guy that's been riding horses for 20 years, that's going to be his initial reaction. So he has to rethink how he performs in the sport and maybe use a different piece of equipment. So it's going to take a while for this to all take a hold.
Is there ever a time, Terry, where we get to a point where it is whipless racing? Or is that presents some safety issues for the riders too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, again, what California wants to do is, you know, basically use it for safety purposes. Again, is what I know and understand, that wouldn't be doing a service for our industry. Now, can we change the optics? We need to work on that. No question about it. Can we, you know, but at the same time, we can't forget that we're in a betting, you know, environment. You got to make sure that the betting public is taken care of, you know, within reason and stuff like that. But you got to make sure owners, we got to keep owners in the game. You got to keep the horsemen in the game. And, you know, like I said, black type. All that proceeds by, you know, the purse money. So we got to educate the people that's not in our industry, but we also got to educate people in our industry that, you know, we need the riding crop for some form of encouragement.
Yeah, and I guess what you're saying, and not to put words in your mouth, but just listening to you explain the situation, and in particular the situation in California, is there are issues that need to be addressed that have been being addressed over the years, but we need continued discussion on a lot of these issues, and we need to keep working toward making it better, especially from a perception standpoint. But at the same time, we need to not make a knee-jerk reaction and say, okay, we're going without using whips in races, just, you know, the way they did. So with that being said, where do things stand, Terry, with that situation in California now?
There's another meeting this week in California. I don't know what the CHRB is thinking. They want to do away with it for, you know, whether they're listening to PETA, whoever it may be, put enough pressure on it. But again, it goes back to, you know, the 23 horses that died. You know, we got to find out what's caused the 23 horses from dying.
Yeah, it wasn't the whip.
It wasn't the crop. But we need to, you know, we were working for the last month with the CHRB and especially, you know, Stronach Group people. We came up with some compromises at the board of directors for the Guild, including Johnny Velasquez, Mike Smith, Javier, Julian Leperu, G.R. Carter, mm-hmm. Ricky Ramirez, Quarter Horse Jocks, and, you know, other jocks. Ramon Dominguez is on there. We came up with something that we could we would agree to. Well, that agreement, for whatever reason, on the morning of the CHRB meeting, fell apart, and it wasn't us. You know, we were told it wasn't going to happen. And then we went to the CHRB meeting later on that morning, and I think they basically attacked us. Instead of trying to work with us, we came there to work with them and find solutions and to help the, you know, everything, and they didn't want to hear it. And I was taken back by it, to be honest with you. And it was, you know, but we all need to be sitting down and working. And we offered to come back and meet with them and have Mike Smith and Joe Talmo, who's on the board, and jocks from Golden Gate, jocks from the quarter horse industry, you know, whether that ride in California, and just have a meeting. And they were having another subcommittee meeting on medication. They were going to meet with them, but they wouldn't meet with us. So they come back. And so what we basically said, you know, talking to our lobbyists and other people there, okay, what's the next thing? And we're going to get it jammed down our throat, I'll be honest with you, to use it for only safety purposes. So we basically, one word came to me that was brought up by our lobbyists and said economics is the only way we're going to stop this train. So I'm flying back in a red eye that night. We said, okay, let's just not use it for other than safety purposes. And so we had a board call. And we were going to say one day, and I raised a question, you know, what happens if we're going to just use it one day? You know, what happens if one jock out of habit were to use it to win a race? So a number of riders spoke up and said, we'll just go one day without it. And if, you know, safety purposes, if there's a horse of concern, you just pull them up, whatever. But again, there's people talking, they were going to bet races at Santa Anita that day. And this was for yesterday.
Sure.
So, but we had no support from the owners, no support from the horsemen's organizations. We had one owner from the quarter horse industry saying, so we just felt like we were out on an island by ourselves. So we had to do something. And then finally on Tuesday, Greg Avioli, who's the executive director, president of the TOC, the horsemen, the owners group up in California, called me and basically said, you know, hear me out. And I said, you know, we're not going to change. He said, Terry, hear me out. You know, we know how you're treated out at CHRB. We told the board that we want to work with you to come up with something that's we can go to together with the CHRB. So talking to Mike Smith and Johnny, you know, we agreed to put it on hold for the time being, and you know, work with them and see where that takes us. But then we ran into yesterday. You know, we came out with a press release. We said we were going to use the GT360, Ramon Dominguez's new riding crop. It's been tested. And we've had – Ramon had conversations, had lunch the following last Saturday with Chuck Winter out there and explained everything. And we sent emails and stuff like that. And the press release said we're going to use it at Santa Anita and Golden Gate. And lo and behold, yesterday we were told that – you know, they were thinking about not allowing it at Santa Anita and maybe Golden Gate. They allowed it at Santa Anita. And they said, you know, the problem is it's a change of equipment. And I said, change of equipment? You know, riding crop to a riding crop? Now, I could see if you're not going to use it, you know, that would be a change. You got to notify everybody. But right. This is a riding crop, and they were talking to Mindy Coleman, who's our attorney. She's out there and dealing with it, you know. But, they didn't allow it at Golden Gate yesterday. So because it was a change of equipment,
yeah.
And there's some technicality, whether it be stitching, you know, or some, you know how it was interpreted.
It's been used. It's one of the weakest arguments I've ever heard in my life.
When you hear these stories, right, and it just makes you shake your head about this sport. I mean, this is a sport that needs to speak with one unified voice, and it needs to have everybody now more than ever have everybody on the same page, working together toward these common goals. And we continue to get infighting over ridiculous things like this.
Well, California is an island. You know, there's no place to go when you're in California. I trained horses there for 20 years, and I can tell you, you are stuck in California, which is not a bad place to be stuck.
Yeah.
But they have their own ideas about things. They feel like they can dictate whatever they want to dictate, and it's just a very unique situation. They don't have the fear of another racetrack, you know, 500 miles away coming in and taking over their spot. So they feel like they have a little bit more power, and I guess essentially they do. But the problem is now that they've irritated enough people in the state that, you know, they could just close the whole thing down, which would really be sad.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah. Well, Terry, we've run out of time. I have to get to the next commercial break here. We could spend another hour easy going through this topic and diving into the different layers. And if people just tuned in for the past 20 minutes or so, they now know that there are several different layers involving this discussion. We'll continue to monitor it, and we'll continue to talk about this as we move forward. But keep up the good work on your end, my friend.
We're trying
the good fight. And I know that everybody in California trying to do the right thing, too. So hopefully at some point there's some common ground somewhere, and we can get this resolved and behind us. But, keep doing what you're doing.
We're trying to do what's best for the industry.
Yeah.
You know, when you have, you know, co-chairs of like Mike Smith and Johnny Velasquez who really care and love our industry, you know, we're all involved in trying to do what's right for our game.
Yeah, well said. He's Terry Meeks. He is the president and CEO of the Jockeys Guild. Terry, appreciate the visit. Thank you for spending a little time with
us. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, and don't forget, like all of our guests who appear on the program, Terry is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. We'll get to a quick break. We'll come back, check in with the folks at Four Roses Bourbon coming up next, and then our interview with John Court talking about the Arkansas Derby. Right around 9:40 Eastern Time. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust Keep Safe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about Keep Safe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in, there's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple Great Estates winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins the Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
It's a Fleet Willie, and to the far outside, something awesome. War Story battles on in between. Fear the Cowboy, Diversify is gone, then You're to Blame, and Discreet Lover as they come to the top of the stretch. A three-way battle for the Classic. To the inside, it's a Fleet Willie. War Story in between, something awesome, and Fear the Cowboy down the outside. Coming to the 16th pole, War Story has his nose in front. Something awesome, Fear the Cowboy. War Story, something awesome, something awesome, was something special today. He beat War Story by a nose. Then Fear the Cowboy and the Fleet Willie, the final time in the Classic, won 50-4.
Awesome. In a thrilling finish, getting the victory that day, he is expected back to defend his title in a rematch with War Story next Saturday. We're going to have live coverage for you here on the network beginning 4 o'clock Eastern. Make sure you're tuned in. We'll be live from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races, which, Jude, means that this show will be live from Charlestown as well. It's a really fun show. We've been doing that the past several years and really enjoy bringing listeners that coverage, too. What a great race that's going to be.
Yeah, it's always a fun event and love going to Charlestown and the casino and the great acts they have there. Got to meet Buddy Guy last year.
Oh, yeah.
That was so fantastic. And, you know, it was so many memories when you think about it. Joe Torre in the winner's circle.
Yep.
Letting the kids put on his World Series ring after Game On Dude's victory. And, I mean, just a lot of great racing. They've done a fantastic job developing that, and it's the crown jewel of West Virginia racing.
Yeah, I believe that Grade 1 winner Discreet Lover is also pointing for that particular race, and we'll look forward to getting up there and catching up with Eric Zimney and Henry Allen in the press box celebrating 45 years of service at Charlestown. We'll get a chance to visit with him. We'll get him on the program next Saturday morning with us and visit with Henry again for a while.
Yeah, Henry's the greatest. He has been the clocker there for many years and just a really smart man, and enjoy spending time with him. He's also the official timer of the races. If the teletimer fails to work, it's his time you get. And I would trust Henry with my life. He's a cool guy.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we're going to hear from our man Al Young at Four Roses Bourbon, which is appropriate because Jude and I are broadcasting from the new Total Wine and More store in Hamburg Pavilion here in Lexington. If you're around, come out and see us. We're here till 10 o'clock. The store is open, so you come out and do your shopping now. We're going to get to that Four Roses segment right after I remind you that you won't want to miss any of the Road to the Kentucky Derby prep races and all the Triple Crown coverage like only Blood Horse magazine and tablet can bring you. Plus, right now, you can sign up for the Blood Horse Triple Crown Special, which is 12 weekly issues for only $12. Go to bloodhorse.com/TC to sign up now. All right, well, here it is. Four Roses Bourbon had a chance to step into the distillery building with Al Young, and he kind of gave us a audio tour of what that building is like. Pretty cool. Here it is, your Four Roses Bourbon segment for this month.
All right, Al Young, we're standing outside the main distillery building here at Four Roses now. To our right, we can see some of the Four Roses barrels, which are on display. I guess there's, looks like about 10 of those that are stacked in a pyramid style. You've got the Four Roses bench where people can sit and enjoy if it's a nice day. Unfortunately, today we're out here undercover because it's raining, but this is a really pretty building. And you told me on the way down here that this would have been where the original building once stood, right?
It is the original building.
This is the
actually.
Original. Okay.
It's gone through a number of manifestations, but the basic architectural plan is the same. In fact, it is on the National Register of Historic Places since about 1987.
Okay.
It's also a member of the Bluegrass Trust. The original architectural style was put together by the Joseph & Joseph architectural firm in Louisville, Kentucky, way back in 1910.
And it's one of those buildings that you can tell has just been here for so long, and it's got so much history. And if this building could tell a story, what do you think it would tell?
Oh, I don't know if we could even print it. I'm sure it would have been good. It traversed the history of bourbon all the way through Prohibition and two World Wars and everything else that you can think of.
How many buildings are on the property here in Lawrenceburg?
We own about six buildings here on the property.
Okay. And you said there are more than 20 warehouses that now house all of the barrels that you described before when the bourbon finally does get into the barrel.
That's correct. We're under a massive expansion program right now. And it used to be for years all we had was 20. Now we've got 21 with the newest warehouse coming online back in the fall. But there will be additional warehouses built as well on the property down at Cox's Creek location.
Okay, well, if you do get a chance to come out to Four Roses, you want to make sure that you take a look at this distillery building because it is spectacular. The yellow sides of the building, of course, the brown, which just accents it beautifully, just spectacular. So, Al, we're now inside the distillery building here at Four Roses. Tell me what happens in here.
Well, the grain at this point has already been milled and put into holding bins at the top of this building. From there, it will go into the cooker. And in the cooker, it will be mixed with water and previously run beer called sour mash. And from there, it will be cooked until all of the starch in the grain has been converted to sugar that will be fed to the yeast that is cultivated in the room behind the cooker that you have in front of you. There are actually two cookers on site now. In fact, there's a duplication of almost everything.
Oh, wow.
We've got two cookers. You can see the bottom of two stills over there. There will be two doublers and a number of yeast room tubs that's been increased from four to about eight to manufacture the yeast that we need to make that conversion from sugar to alcohol.
Yeah, and for our listeners that are unable to see this on radio, obviously, we'll describe it for them here a little bit. When you look around the distillery room, you see several big silver steel vats, and they have the steel steps going up on the side so that the workers can get up there, I assume, right? And it looks like the inside of a warehouse, but much more involved than that. You can see pipes up above us that are running to all of the different vats and all the cookers, as you described. And this really is quite a spectacle here at Four Roses. This is a really neat thing to see.
It's quite a functional spider web, if you will.
I'm hearing a lot of noise in the background. What am I hearing here in the background? What's all the noise?
You are hearing steam going into the cooker, and the cooker actually running. We do it atmospherically, so there are a series of rakes inside the cooker that are turning that grain around and water and sour mash to make the conversion process happen.
All right, the beginning of the bourbon right here at Four Roses in the distillery room. This is pretty cool.
All right, that is Al Young, and my thanks to him for taking me through that tour and that one going inside the distillery building at Four Roses Bourbon in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. We'll get to another break. We'll come back. We're going to talk some Arkansas Derby with jockey John Court, who will be aboard long-range toddy for Steve Asmussen, looking to capitalize and carry that momentum from a victory in the Rebel Stakes last time out. We'll see if he can pull off another win today in the Arkansas Derby. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Bet any track from anywhere with Keeneland Select. Keeneland Select offers something no other wagering platform does, a way to give back to the sport you love through Keeneland's reinvestment in thoroughbred racing and fan development. Become eligible for a $100 sign-up bonus and earn $50 back on every $500 wagered on the Keeneland Spring Meet, up to $1,000 wagered with code HRRN at KeenelandSelect.com or download the app free on the App Store or Google Play.
springtime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
Did you know there were over 1 million bubbles in a glass of champagne? Did someone say brunch?
Wine is made in virtually every country in the world, and I'm ready to give you a tour to find the right one.
Ham's sweet and salty richness pairs perfectly with a juicy Pinot Noir.
Now with 2 locations in Lexington. Visit our newest store in Hamburg, off Sir Barton Way. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have 4 legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From Bowling Barn to Finish Line and beyond, you can see it all. Up-close experiences at our stud farms, nursery and sport horse farms, clinics, a training track, a feed mill, and aftercare facilities will open your eyes to the dedicated care these equine athletes receive for a lifetime. And don't forget to grab a free passport on your tour and start collecting stamps at every location you visit. Book now at visithorsecountry.com.
Adina Springs Stallion, Point of Entry.
Point of Entry scores.
A 5-time grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
And here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
Hailing from a remarkable female family, with his first 4 dams grade 1 winners or grade 1 producers, Point of Entry is your entry point to the Kentucky Derby.
Paku Parfait in front of him. Paku Parfait takes it out. Paku Parfait takes out the Derby.
Loose Cup Parfait recently became his sire's newest graded stakes winner with a game victory in the $2.5 million UAE Derby, securing his spot in the Kentucky Derby. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sign is Point of Entry. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Racing fans, we are now just 3 weeks away from the Run for the Roses, so make plans now to watch and wager on the Kentucky Derby here at Santa Anita on Saturday, May 4th. Our main event this Saturday is the $75,000 Misdirection Stakes for older fillies and mares at 5 furlongs on turf. Join us on Sunday for the Grade 3 Tokyo City Cup at a mile and one half, and you can enjoy our annual Japanese Cultural Festival that features Japanese cuisine and performances throughout the afternoon. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Alternation was the co-second leading second crop Kentucky sire with 5 black type stakes winners, 9 black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alternation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alternation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the Fairgrounds. By Distorted Humor, millionaire graded stakes winner Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And it is Super Saver in Dublin now. Up to challenge, line up David Noble's promises fourth. With a furlong to go, Super Saver in Dublin. Dublin to the outside, Super Saver in the middle. Line of David fights back along the rail. It's between Super Saver Dublin and Line of David at the inside. Super Saver, Line of David as they come under the wire. It's Line of David, the winner knows. Here is Arch, trying to win one for the locals. And it is Arch, heavy to hold off Nero at the wire. Arch, the winner of the Arkansas Derby by a head. Nero was second.
Those calls from Terry Wallace. Yeah, some memorable moments there at Oaklawn, including those 2 Arkansas Derbies in 2010 and 2011, respectively, with Line of David and Arch, both guided to victory by jockey John Court, who will be back in action later today, looking for a 3rd victory in that race aboard Long Range Toddy for trainer Steve Asmussen, and a great rematch with the Bob Baffert train Improbable on tap for later this afternoon. John going to join us here momentarily right after we welcome everybody back. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, live from the new Total Wine and More store on Sir Barton Way in Hamburg Pavilion here in Lexington. The store opening on Thursday, and the doors are open, so come on out and enjoy this spectacular new store, which really has about everything you could need for all of your party needs and any drink recipes you're looking to prepare. This is the place to be. Jude, we started the program with a poll question at HRN on Twitter, and we asked folks who is their Derby horse with 21 days to go? 21 days, 9 hours, 6 minutes, 40 seconds until the Run for the Roses. War of Will getting a couple of votes in here by my standards, the Louisiana Derby winner. Game Winner getting a vote. Code of Honor. Win, Win, Win with a couple of votes. Spinoff, Omaha Beach, Maximum Security, Improbable, Roadster. They're all in the mix, but nobody chiming in on Long Range Toddy. That might change after the Arkansas Derby today.
Well, it's possible. We have a lot of fans that you're only as good as your last victory.
So, yeah.
Not surprising. I'm surprised at some of the names on that list. I mean, but everybody's got their favorites, so we've had plenty of different horses to choose from this year, that's for sure.
Not like he needs any extra motivation this afternoon, but I bring that up with John Cord on the line. John, what do you think of that? Nobody chiming in on Long Range Toddy just yet.
Well, I beg to differ with that. I actually am in touch with quite a bit of the fanfare. They're chiming in quite a bit. But then that's going to be a biased group, I'm sure, that's not getting quite the coverage as you guys get more on a national level.
Well, look, let's start by
My
looking back on that last race.
Okay?
Let's look back on that last race, that win in the Rebel. What a gutsy effort. You rode him for the first time. He gets up. He beats Improbable. He beats everybody that day. Take us through your trip in that race.
Well, he broke exceptionally sharp. He was on key right there and on target, and running to the first turn, is I was in a position where I necessarily did not want to find my place going wire to wire. But he was a kind enough horse, and he's smart enough that when I asked him to settle, he immediately gave me what I want. And then, of course, the others that set out in front of me, Omaha Beach was one of the horses I wanted to target. And I just laid right behind that setup down the backside. It was challenged again. With Mike, now there's three of them in front of us, which was what I was hoping and expecting. And as I just abided my time, more or less, until we turned for home, and I saw Improbable range up on the outside of me, and I kept an eye out for him, just being aware of where he was. And I just gauged it from there, and I didn't want to pull the trigger too soon. And at the same time, I was a little concerned, to be honest with you, when I turned for home, I might have pulled the trigger too late. But as you see, it ended up being an executed trip of victory because we got up in the final yards.
Just right. So, you know, that's a great insight that I think a lot of fans don't quite understand, how jocks maybe pick out a horse or two, maybe even three sometimes, that they want to track as they're riding the race, because they know those are the horses that they're going to have to beat at some point in the race, and you can use that kind of as a benchmark of how your race is going and make adjustments along the way. Talk about that a minute.
Well, I do believe that most riders do pick out a target horse, and sometimes it's 4 to 5 actually, and you keep an eye on it, and then sometimes, to be honest with you, the race will unfold and it doesn't figure out. You're like, where's so-and-so? Where's that jock on that one? Because I know he's a speed rider with tactical speed. He should be in front of me. But that's basically a strategy. You look at the horses, the style, and you do calculate the riders and their riding style and how they may approach it. And you just try to, you know, take that in mind that the race would unfold, and then you can plan your strategy A, B, or C that would get you to the finish line first. And even though a lot of times it doesn't unfold that way, and then sometimes it unfolds exactly like you predicted. So you know the old saying, once the gate opens, everything changes. So I believe most, if not all, the riders that I would think strategize like that from over the course of my career, watching them mark their phone, their racing forms, as I used to do as well, and still continue to do. They study, and then they go out there and try to apply their plan and get the winner, the winning race.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. John Cort with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Long Range Toddy, his mount in this afternoon's Arkansas Derby. John, a couple of weeks ago, we were in Florida for the Florida Derby, and I had a chance to stop by the jocks room and visit with Johnny Velasquez. And Johnny echoed the same sentiments that you're saying here this morning. He said, you know, one thing that I'll do is I'll take a look and get to know the tendencies of all the other riders that I'm competing against in these races. Sounds like you do the same thing. So I'll put you on the spot here a little bit. A guy like Jose Ortiz, who breaks from the rail with Improbable, and Mike Smith, the Hall of Famer, who's aboard Omaha Beach, the other two likely favorites in the race. Kind of give me your overview of their riding styles and some things you'll be watching for from them later this afternoon.
With their riding style, well, I know they're going to have to ride their horse accordingly to the style of the horses run. And I know how to follow these riders enough, and I've been around them enough to just adapt myself to kind of fold into the play of the race. So those, as I mentioned earlier, Omaha Beach, actually, when we were talking about the first division of the Rebel, that's going to be one of my target horses today. And Improbable, he's down on the inside, and I'm on the extreme outside. So I'm just expecting the race to unfold to where the speed would set up, and then I can run it down, and I'll be keeping an eye on not only the riders and their style and the way the horses run, but trying to keep an eye on the energy and what horse looks like he's tiring in front of me, and then try to position myself to not be behind one of those horses that are apt to tire, because you want to get by them without having any difficulty, where you have to alter course, and that periodically happens in races. So it's going to be a muddy track today too, so unless that it drains off and the day clears up, we might be expected to run in the mud, and I'm pretty sure that's a high chance that's going to happen.
Yeah, the weather definitely could be a factor.
Big time.
Right, right. How does your horse handle the off track?
Well, I don't know yet. We were discussing that last night, but we're going to find out today. I've got a lot of confidence in him, and I believe he'll handle it well. I'm going in as optimistic as I possibly can be.
Yeah, all seven of his career starts have come on a fast track, so his first time racing on a wet racetrack. He is the son of Take Charge Indy, who is by AP Indy, so that bodes well. We know that AP Indies are pretty good in the mud, so he has that going for him from a pedigree perspective. John, you mentioned the outside post 11 today, mile and an eighth at Oaklawn Park. Talk about some of the challenges that will pose today.
Well, actually, it takes some of the challenges out, if you want to know the truth, in my opinion, because if I was down on the inside and I had some of these other horses, especially the speed horses or even the ones with tactical, it would most likely force my hand or put me in a position where I have to maybe use my horse a little more to maintain a position. And I'm looking at this, as I said, as optimistic as I can, to where I can just fold into the race to where I feel comfortable, and hopefully the pressure with the speed horses will unfold with them hooking up without me having to be in between them. Because if I was down in between them, well, they would be putting pressure on Long Range Toddy to maybe use a little more horse than I want to, or use a lot more horse than I desire early in the race. And I'd like to just keep as much as I can to keep an efficient amount of energy going all the way around there. As I have heard the Hall of Famer Wayne Lucas, the coach, coined that term one time, and not only in that situation, it's not always that the favorite will win. It's sometimes the horse that has the best trip, and that's what we're all looking for, not only a good trip but the best trip. We'll have the best out of the results we could possibly get.
Yeah, sometimes, too, the way the racetrack's playing, the outside could actually be an advantage on any given day when the track is off.
I agree with you 100%. And that's the way it's been playing here, if you want to know the truth, here at Oaklawn this year. The surface just naturally gravitates towards the rail just because of the way the track's with the grade and everything. And, you know, sometimes the rail is not always the best place to be. I mean, there's no question you're always on an advantage saving ground, but if you're running in a surface that's deeper or tiring, it's not always an advantage.
visiting with jockey John Court here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. John, just a minute or so left before we have to wrap it up, get to our final commercial break here this morning. If you can win this Arkansas Derby this afternoon, you will equal Hall of Famer Pat Day with the most wins in Arkansas Derby history. Pat, of course, is still one win ahead of you when it comes to the Kentucky Derby. How much time do you spend thinking about that and allowing yourself to look ahead to what could be 3 weeks from today if Long Range Toddy steps up and runs big this afternoon?
Well, I don't know how much time, but I do reminisce on those thoughts, thinking that, well, hey, you know, if this happens and if it's, I'm able to experience this in my career, I think that would move me in a position to be one day Hall of Fame eligible. So as long as I'm riding and winning and keep competing on this level, I think those goals and those challenges and those dreams are still there in front of me to be fulfilled.
Very well said. John Court here on HRN.
Thank you.
John, you rearranged your schedule to be with us this morning. Really appreciate it. You're always so accommodating, and good luck this afternoon, and most importantly, safe trip when you get a leg up.
All right. Thank you, Mike and Rudy. Thank you.
All right, thanks. John Court here on HRN. We'll get to one final break. We'll come back, wrap it up for you. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, and it's all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
It's time for Kentucky Cajun Bob's famous crawfish boil, coming on April 16th. Support horses in aftercare at the Kentucky Equine Adoption Center when you get your ticket on the Kentucky Equine Adoption Center Facebook page or website at kyeac.org. Stay and enjoy the party at the crawfish boil, or take your 5 pounds of freshly boiled crawfish home. Get your ticket on the Kentucky Equine Adoption Center Facebook page or website at kyeac.org. The horses thank you.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Donnell. Caraconti.
Caraconti, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with 5-time champion Miesque as his third dam. Caraconti recorded 3 grade 1 victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Caraconti recorded a grade 1 win at 2 before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at 3, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32 4/5. First crop yearlings by Caraconti sold for up to $220,000, and his first 2-year-olds impressed at the OBS March sale, with a filly breezing in 9 4/5 seconds and selling for $365,000 to Breeze Easy LLC. Caraconti, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Attending this year's Kentucky Derby? Experience the true difference at the official Derby Hotel of HRRN. Say hello to a brand new hotel experience from Hilton. That's vibrant, affordable, and young at heart. It's energetic, yet relaxing and comfortable. It's completely unprecedented. It's completely true. Enjoy modern amenities and quality comfort with guest rooms featuring a 55-inch flat-screen TV and 150 channels of DirecTV, along with a free breakfast, a state-of-the-art fitness center, and more. Discover affordability without compromise at Louisville's True by Hilton.
Airdrie Stud's Summer Front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of 2-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at 2, this talented son of Warfront went on to win her place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, Summer Front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best grade 1 mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Stud's Summer Front. Think about it.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere, or visit centralequipment.com.
The National HBPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders, committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Hamelback at the National HBPA headquarters in Lexington, Kentucky, and see what the HBPA is doing for you.
Hey, it's Corey Lannery. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Well, welcome back. Wrapping up a busy couple of hours here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, live from the new Total Wine and More store in Hamburg Pavilion on Sir Barton Way. Make sure you come out and support them. They've been great supporters of us and happy to be able to bring you this coverage here this morning from this location. Don't forget, we're back at 5:30 Eastern Time this afternoon. Sirius 111, XM 202 with coverage of the Lexington Stakes and Jenny Wiley from Keeneland. Our thanks to our guest, Derek Wright, the store manager here at Total Wine and More. Kurt Becker joined us as well. Terry Meeks from the Jockeys Guild and John Court just a few moments ago. And special thanks to Delilah Jimenez and Annie Stornitsky at True Media for helping to put all this together here for us this morning.
Yeah, it's been nice to be here, surrounded by my friends.
All right, our thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studio. For Chauncey, Sean C. with us here on site. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next week, live from Charlestown. Go, Phil!
Good night, Barbados.